The holidays are right around the corner. In fact, next month, at the end of the month, we'll have Thanksgiving. And then the month after that, we'll have Christmas. And then that kicks into January 1st, which is New Year's. And then, of course, eventually, we'll have February 14th, Valentine's Day. And then finally, we'll settle things down a little bit with Easter. And then we'll kick off on our summer holidays after that, right? But we have holidays, it seems like, year-round, just about every month of the year, there's some kind of holiday that we're celebrating. And the holiday season is something that always kind of piques people's questions and piques interest in, well, what does the Bible have to say about holidays? And does the Bible have any word about how we're to treat holidays and how we're to think about the holidays? And of course, there are some great principles in the holidays that the Bible touches on. For example, there's a lot of family time during holidays when people get to spend time with family. And the Bible has some very good things to say about family and about family members and about family relationships and things of that matter. That's not what we're going to talk about today, but we're just going to talk about what the Bible has to say regarding holidays in and of themselves. And holidays do give us some time to spend with one another and to think about some of these things. Of course, our nation observes some very important holidays every year. There is New Year's Day. There is a Memorial Day that we think about those who have gone before and sacrificed their lives for the cause of freedom and other things. There's the 4th of July, which is our Independence Day. There is Labor Day, which we just celebrated a couple of months ago. And then, of course, at the end of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And all of these different holidays are, in a way, our nation observes those things in different ways. But what does the Bible have to say about holidays? And how should we observe holidays as Christians? When we turn to Romans chapter 14 in verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul has some things to say about holidays. And believe it or not, Romans chapter 14 in verses 5 and 6 is discussing holidays of one kind or another. A lot of times in that day and time, the holidays had to do with Jewish holidays and Jewish traditions. But then the Romans also had certain holidays that they celebrated as Romans, and they observed particular, in fact, they had week-long holidays in some cases. If you were a Roman, you could observe some holidays that lasted for quite a long period of time. But in Romans chapter 14, in verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul says this: "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God and gives God thanks." Now look at verse 7. "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Now I want us to stop right there for a minute and think about the principles that the Apostle Paul is talking about. First of all, he wants us to understand that everything we do the things that we do don't happen in a vacuum, right? We don't simply live and die to ourselves, but rather we live and die to the Lord because we belong to the Lord and everything belongs to the Lord. And one day we're all going to stand in judgment before the Lord. And look at verses 9 and 10, 11. "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself before God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. So the Apostle Paul's point here is that, you know, everyone kind of looks at things differently. And we, some people observe some holidays in one way, and other people observe holidays in another way. Some people don't even observe holidays at all in their lives, and it's just another day for them. But as far as the Lord is concerned, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all need to be concerned about living our lives in reference to the Lord and giving ourselves to Him. And so if there is any matter of judgment one among the other whereby things come up, we shouldn't feel compelled that we have to judge our brother in one matter or another. Because why? Because Christ is the judge before whom we're all going to stand. And Christ is the one who's going to resolve any difficulty there might be. And so in these matter of holidays, there's a lot of liberty that's given to us as Christians. And there's some things that we can do and observe and enjoy. And there's some things that we need to be careful about when it comes to holidays. Because, as we said, all things belong to the Lord, including holidays. And they're to be used for His glory and His honor and for His purposes. Well, in our society, we do have certain holidays. And historically, holidays were religious days. In fact, the word holiday means holy day, or it used to mean that. It's come to mean something a little different, you know, having a day off, enjoying some time with family or something like that is typically what we think of when we think about the word holiday. But under the Old Testament, holidays were mandatory. You had many holidays under the Old Testament. There was Passover, which occurred every year. It's talked about in Exodus chapter 12. You have the Sabbath day, which was a weekly holiday that was to be observed every week, Exodus 20 and verse 8. There were the days of Pentecost. That was a yearly holiday that's detailed in Leviticus 23. We have the Day of Atonement that's also talked about in the book of Leviticus. It was a yearly holiday. There were the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles that were to be observed every year as well. And then you had something called the Year of Jubilee, which was observed once every 50 years. And every 50 years in Israel, in ancient Israel, they took the whole year off. Nobody did any work of any kind. It wasn't supposed to be any work going on every 50 years. And they were supposed to depend upon God to take care of them for that whole year. Can you imagine that? Having a whole year off? At least 1 year off in your entire lifetime. Maybe two if you live long enough, right? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? That was the law, though. They were required to do that. Well, today, we don't have such requirements under the new covenant with Christ. Neither do we have such requirements under our legal system. But we do recognize certain holidays, and society kind of recognizes and assigns some religious value or religious content to certain holidays, such as Christmas and Easter, and non-Christian holidays such as Hanukkah or Ramadan or other things like that, etc. Those are deemed to be religious holidays by society in general. But society's recognition of a holiday doesn't necessarily constitute that we have to observe such a day as a religious holiday. And I think we all understand that. And then there's also some non-religious holidays that we recognize and celebrate, such as days that honor special men and their achievements, such as the birthdays of presidents or of civil rights leaders of one kind or another. There is also a day honoring Christopher Columbus and his achievements. And There's Labor Day, which honors all people and the work that they do to support our country. The days that honor certain military sacrifice, such as Veterans Day, which is coming up, and also Memorial Day. And then days that honor special concepts, such as the New Year, or Valentine's Day, or the 4th of July, or Thanksgiving, which honors thankfulness. And so many different holidays for many different purposes, for many different reasons. And those are some of the things that we think about when we think about holidays in our culture, in our society. But I want us to understand that holidays are largely governed by culture and by society. If we were to transport somebody from a completely different time and a completely different culture to our culture today, they probably wouldn't understand a lot of what's going on in our holidays and probably wouldn't really know what the significance is all about while they see us observing these holidays, you see. And so when we think about the holidays, we're largely thinking about things that are cultural in nature and rather not necessarily religious in nature, in the sense of God being behind those holidays. And we really need to think about that in relationship to who God is and who Jesus is and what He has taught us within His Word. So, does God want us to celebrate these holidays? Are they things that Jesus had in mind as He gave His life on the cross? Did He think about those things while He was doing that? And the answer to that question is both yes and no to some degree, right? First of all, we want to understand that we certainly have freedom in Christ. And there is freedom to think about the holidays and to celebrate the holidays in the ways that we deem that is appropriate. There's certain freedom that we have that's available for us to act in the way that we desire to act in this world today. But then there's things that God doesn't want us to do and that He doesn't want us to participate in. For example, a lot of times there will be some parties at Christmas that involve the consumption of large quantities of alcohol. And that certainly wouldn't be something that God would want us to be involved in. Drunkenness is a sin, and we shouldn't participate in that kind of party or in that kind of activity, even though it may be related to a holiday of one kind or another. Nor should we celebrate activities that would be sinful in nature. And so if there were, for example, a holiday that honored fornication, for example, and sometimes Valentine's Day is turned into just that, we wouldn't want to honor that aspect of that holiday that celebrated immorality of one kind or another, because those kinds of things are sinful in nature, and God has prohibited them from being involved in our lives, and therefore we shouldn't participate in those things. And so there's aspects of things, holidays that we can participate in, and aspects of holidays that as Christians we ought not to participate in, though the world and society does participate in those things. Well, how can I understand the teaching of the Bible to help me in that regard? Well, first of all, the Bible has principles that comments upon these things. And then God is going to leave a lot of what we do in our own hands to decide how we want to pursue it. Well, what are some of those principles that the Bible gives? First of all, the Bible talks about giving honor to whom honor is due. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all men. And so if there's a holiday wherein we can honor a particular person for his achievements or for some good things that he has done within his life, then we ought to honor. We ought to give honor where honor is due. And we should honor all men. And that might include even birthdays and notable achievements in society, such as civil rights or things like that, or even military sacrifice. those would certainly be holidays where we could give honor where honor is due. But also in regard to our observance of holidays, we need to respect. The Bible gives the principle of respect for government. In Romans 13 and verse 1, it tells us to be in subjection to the higher powers, to government authorities. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us that we have to subject ourselves to the ordinances of men. In that regard, holidays such as New Year's Day and the 4th of July and Thanksgiving and other national type holidays, those are holidays that we can certainly respect and honor, even in regard to what the nation has said about some of those things. The government's legislation, though, of a religious observance would not necessitate a Christian's observance of such a day just because the government legislated it. And there's been, we don't necessarily have that problem in our country per se, because there is a sort of separation between the religion and the state that is constitutionalized. And that is that the state is not supposed to make laws that impinge upon religious freedom. But in the past, in other countries and other societies, there have been certain laws that were passed that required Christians to observe certain religious holidays. For example, under the rule of Caesar in the Roman Empire, there was one day out of the year that was dedicated to, and it was a religious holiday, dedicated to worshiping Caesar. And every single Roman citizen was supposed to come in and take a little incense and to sacrifice it on an altar of incense and to say the words, Lord Caesar. And that was their observance of a religious holiday. If you didn't do that, then the government questioned your loyalty. They questioned your patriotism. They questioned whether or not you were truly being a faithful citizen to the Empire of Rome. And some Christians refused to do that. They refused to worship Caesar. And as a result of that, some of them were imprisoned, and some of them even lost their lives for refusing to celebrate a religious national holiday. Well, the Bible teaches that we must obey God rather than men, Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, and that there's really only one day that we have an obligation to observe religiously, and that is the first day of the week. We are supposed to meet on the first day of the week. The Bible teaches us that this is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are supposed to observe the Lord's Supper, and that we're supposed to meet on the first day of the week to do that. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 tells us that they met on the first day of the week to break bread or to observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2 tells us that on the first day of the week they met to give of their means. And we know that Revelation 1 verse 10 refers to Sunday as the Lord's Day, because that was the day that they met every week to observe the Lord's Supper. And so we do have a religious holiday, so to speak, that we are supposed to keep. And that religious holiday is every first day of the week. And every first day of the week, we're supposed to come together as God's people, and we are supposed to observe the Lord's Supper in that regard. But recognition of all other religious holidays is up to each individual Christian, as we read in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. And so we are not commanded to practice the observance of any other religious holiday other than the first day of the week. In fact, we have freedom to live our lives as we would like to live those lives and to observe holidays as we would like to observe them. So in that regard, sometimes people ask, well, what about Christmas and Easter? Because those seem to be particularly Christian-type holidays, if you will. And many want to know, well, are those religious holidays? Should we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas? Should we celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus or the resurrection of Jesus at Easter? are those holidays that we ought to observe as Christians? And should we observe them as Christian religious holidays? Well, first of all, we need to make note that the Bible does not talk about either Christmas or Easter as a holiday. You can read through all the way from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and you're not going to find any verse that says, thou shalt celebrate December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ. Okay, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find, you know, that the Bible saying, thou shalt celebrate the Sunday after Passover as the day that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and you should observe that particular Sunday alone as the day of the resurrection that many call Easter Sunday. The Bible doesn't have that command in it either. Well, what should we make then of Christmas and Easter in that regard? Well, first of all, we need to respect the principles that the Bible gives us about those things. And Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 tells us that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when those holidays come around, a lot of times those holidays have been made to be what they are, again, by our culture and by our society, and what the culture and society wants them to be, not necessarily what God has said in His Word. And because of that, we need to be very careful in how we honor those particular days and how we observe those particular holidays. We don't want to be transformed by the world or conformed to the world just to do what the world does just because the world does it. We want to be a people who are transformed by God and by His Son, Jesus Christ, and the things that He teaches within His Word, and let that define us. And in that regard, we need to understand that our observance of those particular days then needs to be one that is a holy aspect of our own life, and that our life needs to reflect how God wants us to live each and every day. So when I come around to that time of year that is Christmas, or that time of year that is Easter, I have been celebrating, as it were, the birth of Christ all year long. I have been celebrating, as it were, the resurrection of Christ all year long by my transformed life. And those days are not to be set aside just as days to celebrate those things only on that day. It's a day that is set aside by the world to do that because they don't celebrate Jesus and His life hardly any other day of the year. And why do they use those days then? And why do they celebrate those days then? To rationalize their ungodly lifestyle in a lot of parts, to justify the sinful things that they do for the rest of the year. A lot of times, that's what those days are really about in the world's mind. Oh, look how much I give on Christmas to the homeless and to the poor and all this. Okay, well, how much do you give the rest of the year to them? You know you're obligated to help people, not just that time of the year, but all of the year. And so a lot of times that's what those holidays are simply used for. To make a person feel good about himself in spite of the fact that the majority of the year and the majority of the time he has spent serving his own pleasures and his own desires and his own self-will. Now, that's not to say that everybody does that. And so what about those who really are sincere Christians and who really do live for Christ and who really strive to follow what He says within their life each and every day? Well, they will find when they come to those days that they will not need to observe yet another day as a quote-unquote religious holiday because they have already lived that life each and every day. And they will find that they will have joy as much that day as they've had joy the rest of the year. They will find peace as much that day as they have found the rest of the year. They will find wonderful family time as much that day as they have found the rest of the year. Why? Because they've been living for Christ each and every day of their life. You see, when we think about the holidays, a lot of times it's simply thinking about us and our desires and what we want and how to accomplish that. And it's not really thinking about God and who God is and what God wants and how He wants us to accomplish those things. And so because of that, we raise questions and we ask about how we ought to do things, you know, so that we can cross our religious T's and dot our religious I's and be kind of Pharisees in that regard, when really all along what God wants us to do is have that broken and contrite heart each and every day of the year and to live for Him each and every day. And if we will do that, then we will find ourselves really loving God and really loving Christ and really loving each other. And you know, I think that we will find every day of the year to be a wonderful day, to be a day that we can celebrate as a holiday, to be a day that we can really love other people, to be a day that we can really be content being in Christ and being a child of God. Now that really gets to the heart of the matter, because that's what it's really about. Living for Him each and every day. And so as we think about the holidays this year, we think about spending time with family and friends. Let's not only think about those days in particular, but let's think about every day that we live and how we can give that day to Christ. Do you need to give your life to Christ this morning? To respond to His will? To live for Him? In hearing His word and believing it? And repenting of your sins and becoming that living sacrifice that you need to be to live for Him? Do you need to identify with Christ by being baptized with Him this morning so that your sins may be forgiven and that you can begin walking with Him each and every day? Why not make that choice this hour to become a child of God? Do you need the prayers of the church to help in some struggle that you're facing, some difficulty of life that has come your way? Then this time is often used as an opportunity for you to make those requests known as well. And whatever your request may be, won't you come now while we stand and sing?